Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Harrison. I'm talking today about Ivica Zubats, and this is kind of sort of Harrison's beat. This is his large adult son that we're going to be talking about. He might be a little bit more optimistic, maybe, because Zubats says he's lost even more weight, though me being the ever the optimist I am, I wrote on Silver Screen and Roll that that might not necessarily be a good thing. So Harrison and I are probably going to do a lot of yelling today. You guys know where to find the show. You guys know where to find us. Harrison especially is on Twitter at Ivica Zubats burner account. Harrison, how you doing?
I was going to say, I was timing this. It was what, like a minute before you let me talk?
42
like even
seconds.
Though you introduced me?
42 seconds.
Okay, 42 seconds. I'm good. I'm pretty good. It's like it's as you know, it's really hot here in Southern California right now, which is why you can hear my AC in the background. And as no longer a paid host of this podcast, I don't have to care about that. You can edit it out, Anthony.
it's unfortunate timing that you hop off and you'd have been able to pay for your AC. Like after I won't rub that in your face.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I'm just gonna continue to hold your air mattresses hostage.
That's a story we should
probably...
It'd be
a real shame if they got slashed.
Slashing prices. All right. Speaking of, we are going to talk about Zubats, as I talked about earlier. Today's show is brought to you by both Ease, which is sponsoring the entire series, and Shady Rays. I've talked about them a couple times. Their glasses remain extremely comfortable, and I'll talk about them heading into the third segment. As with all of these previews, they are going to be... We're going to start by talking about the player's career to this point, in this case Zubats' disappointing second season and promising first season. In the second segment, we're going to talk about what Ivica Zubats needs to work on individually and how he can improve there. And then finally, we're going to talk about, in the final segment, how all of this fits into the Lakers' team construct. And I'm sure Thomas Bryant will probably come up at some point along the way as well. Let's dive into this thing. Ivica Zubats played 43 games last year. Didn't start ever. Only played 9.5 minutes a game. That was fewer than the 16 minutes he played his rookie season. I would say he was among the most disappointing Lakers last year.
Well, Anthony, I have a spin zone for you, so... I'm going to pull up a stat. Do you want to guess who the Lakers had the worst net rating with off the court last year?
Was it Zubats?
I mean, it's probably pretty easy based on the topic of the show. It's Ivica Zubats. The Lakers never were they worse than when Zubats was off the court, and he had the fifth best net rating on the team while on the court. Behind, of course, Nigel Hayes, the god of the Lakers last year with a 28.9 net rating. So might have been affected a little bit by small sample size, potentially.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe just a little bit. But, you know, maybe his season wasn't as bad as – no, his season was pretty bad. I think, obviously, like you said, most disappointing Lakers. I don't know if I'd go that far just because I think some of the reasons he disappointed were kind of out of his control. Like – he can't control if the Lakers brought in Brook Lopez as their traditional big and they wanted to go small with Julius Randle most of the rest of the time. Like, there weren't a whole lot of minutes there for him right off the bat. I think maybe, like, the things that you can quibble with is, like, that he didn't distinguish himself enough to get minutes over Andrew Bogut when Bogut was getting minutes. Or, like, things like that. Like, little opportunities to seize, like, 5 or 6 real minutes here and there rather than kind of – just strictly garbage time, which was mainly what he played outside of, like, a little bit with Isaiah Thomas at one point during the season. But, you know, like, I wouldn't say biggest disappointment, because I think a lot of it was kind of out of his hands.
I kind of agree. And I think a lot of it too is that with second year players, especially kind of role players that surprise in their rookie season, expectations tend to be a little too high for them anyway. Shouts to Josh Hart heading into next year, for example. And so to what you're saying, Zubats can't control other people's expectations getting away from them.
And I think, too, like you mentioned, coming into the second season, like that all of a sudden teams have tape on you. And if you're kind of a one-dimensional guy, like a role player, and they can take away that one thing and you haven't really added anything over the summer, then they're going to be able to stop you pretty easily. And like, again, that's on Zubats for not adding more to his game. Although he talks about like he tried to add like a 3-point shot, and they're saying again, like there's been people saying that he's trying to do that again this summer. We'll see if it really pans out. We saw like the Larry Nance Jr. Memorial, like 3 years in a row, he was going to get a 3-point shot and just never did. And so, you know, it may never happen, but I guess he tried to add additions to his game, but they weren't enough, obviously, to earn him playing time or impress. I'm not saying that he's blameless in all of this, to be clear. I think there were, like, he struggled for sure. But I just thought, like, biggest disappointment, or one of the biggest disappointments, I think, is just a little far.
I'm sticking with it. He wasn't good. Well, I mean, here's the thing. It's not so much like the lack of production, whatever, because that lends itself back to, well, he just didn't have as much opportunity. But whenever he was on the court, it started the year with like, okay, let's see if he could build on what was a pretty promising rookie campaign. But then anytime he got on the court after you kind of recognized like, oh man, he might not, this is not pretty. And then over the course of the year, it was like, please prove us wrong in kind of giving up on you, at least in the context of this season. And he never did anything that made me feel like, okay, yeah, the Lakers need to continue to invest resources in this kid's development. And I'm like, that's not great. And heading into this year, like when the Lakers moved off of or waived Thomas Bryant and kept Zubats around, the response kind of surprised me that how many people were willing to go, oh man, they kept the wrong guy here.
I think that almost, I mean, if you're looking for positives, that should almost probably be seen as a positive, is that like they had enough faith in him that they wanted to keep him rather than Thomas Bryant. And you never know like what behind the scenes politics play into that, and whether or not, you know, maybe they were doing Bryant a favor by letting him go somewhere else or whatever. Like, you never know with this stuff and with agents and all that. But to me, it seemed a pretty clear indicator that they have faith in Zubats heading into this next year, and that he kind of fits their vision a little bit better. And it, you know, he's at least excelled as a pick and roll player, and so if the Lakers are going to be running more of that and he can set solid screens, then maybe he can find a role. I kind of, you know, having JaVale and Ivica Zubats heading into the next year as your two center options is obviously not ideal until he proves a whole lot more in training camp, but like I think it's probably a good sign for his development that they showed faith in him and kept him around.
Yeah, that's certainly the optimistic way to look at this, is that like the Lakers haven't been like flat out wrong on very many people, right? On
Except
very many
Anthony Brown.
Well, right, that's the one.
Yeah.
So like hopefully that, you know, their kind of vote of confidence here is one that kind of rests everybody's iffy feeling about Zubats. But we'll keep on talking about that here in a second. But first, let's talk about Eaze. That's EAZE.co/lockedon to get $20 off your first purchase. For today's show is going, I'm thinking I might title it the Ivica Zubats preview show. What do you think, Harrison? No?
Can I bail out of this midstream?
I don't blame you. You can go you can go to Eaze.co/lockedon, or you can open the Eaze app, which is very easily findable on
iTunes. You
can
open it with ease.
Yeah,
find it with ease.
It's very easy to find it. You can find oils, creams, pens, flowers, edibles, pre-rolls, and pet products. But again, always do your research before you do any of this kind of stuff. If you're looking for any kind of medical research, Eaze has it in their app or on their website. You can... The technology itself is encrypted, so all of your data is in a secure spot. It's safe. It's obviously legal, and it's great for those of you who can't leave the house. It's just like Uber Eats or Postmates. You can go there to Eaze.co/lockedon or the app to get access to over 60 licensed brands and more than 200 products. There are over 1,000 people that are employed through this, so they're also helping the job market as well. Everybody knows somebody whose life was made a little bit better by access to marijuana at this point. The stigma has been lifted. So do your research. Hop on ease.co/lockedon to get $20 off your first purchase. Another quick second here, and when we come back, we'll keep talking about Ibiza in his third season.
Ugh.
I miss that noise. Like, he just kind of does this long, like, sigh. He just, you know, and
yeah, occasionally you can pick it up in the background, but like, he does it so much and you talk so much that you probably can't pick it up every time.
But I miss,
but no,
like,
Pete and I have like a Locked On husband support chat.
Oh no.
Like, where we just, like, you know, we just talk about, we're like, oh man, Anthony did this today. Did he ever do that with you? And I'm like, yeah, it's the worst. I'm sorry.
And does he ever blame you, like, for not changing the, I guess you can't, you, there's nothing you could have done to change me.
No, he understands. It's just, it's more of like emotional support for each other. It's, yeah, just like, man, like, just remember, like, at the end of the month when you get that check, like, you're going to feel a lot less dirty about yourself for continuing to do this podcast with Anthony.
Pete got two this month. Let's get back to Ivica Zubats. And in his second season, it's pretty obvious the stuff that he needs to improve on, right? Which is basketball.
Everything.
Basketball.
Yeah. So we're on the same page.
But Ivica Zubats needs to improve as a basketball player, just in general, to get better. But is there anything, like, specifically that you are really hoping that he takes a step forward with this year?
Well, so, I mean, like, you could look at this one of two ways. You could go really unrealistic and be like, yeah, it'd be great if he could switch on to point guards and stuff like that. But, that's never going to happen. Right. I feel pretty confident saying, like, Zubats, I'm probably as high on him as anyone. And, like, I don't think that he's going to get – he's not going to get to that level. Like, I think at best at this point in the modern NBA, he's going to be, like, a solid kind of big man insurance policy off the bench or reserve or whatever. And so – but I think defensively asking him to improve a little bit is not unrealistic. I think the types of drop coverages that you saw Brook Lopez in a lot last season is how Zubats is going to, how the Lakers are going to have to play in any minutes where Zubats is on the floor. And asking him to get good awareness for those and get good fundamentals as far as just, like, you know, verticality and getting his hands up and just taking a step back and knowing which guys that he needs to kind of drop back against so that they can't get ahead of steam going up against him towards the basket. Like, I think those are the types of, like, smart type of veteran things that everyone should be hoping that he's improving on heading into his third season, because he's at the point where the mental game should be starting to catch up.
Yeah. It's just, he was so bad that it's hard for me to, like, it's kind of the Ingram thing, and hopefully it's like a reverse jinx that I'm doing here, where I just want him to showcase or get back to showcasing one of the NBA skills that people were excited about with him as a rookie, right? Like, the soft hands and finishing ability in his first year. A lot of the bigs that were going up against Zubats were saying that he was just, like, impossible to move. And it was really disappointing over the course of the year that any time he had any kind of post position and somebody wanted him off of that position, he just moved. He just got pushed off balance. He wasn't able to finish through hardly any contact. And, like, that, I guess,
So this is me speculating, but how much of that is that he's playing in garbage time and nobody really is going to go all out fighting for post position on defense in garbage time?
Which season are you talking about?
Last season.
That Zubats was pushed off.
Yeah, I mean, he was mainly only playing in garbage time.
Right, but he's trying to prove himself and earn more minutes. Like, the fact that, like,
the excuse is
nobody gives a shit. Like, what?
That, I mean, I guess that's fair, but at the same time, I don't know. Like, I think it's overstated how much guys can really earn minutes and how hard they really try in garbage time. Like, outside of point guards that have the ball in their hands and are looking to, like, put on a show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but those are, like, little things that you just need to build. Like,
he should do that. He should have done that. I'm just saying, like, you know, like, well, I don't know that it was indicative of, like, a loss of ability so much as, like, a loss of kind
confidence,
of
maybe give a fuckedness. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Are we allowed to curse on here now?
You know, it's like a sparse thing.
Okay,
you just kind of salt it in every so often, and you got to kind of say it under your breath. Just in case that you get.
So I just brought attention to it.
Locked On Lakers cares about the kids.
Yeah.
And in this case, your kids don't specific. Keep
that if you're listening to this.
But always showcase your, you know, anywho. Well, no, don't do that. We're going to move on. we're gonna move on. But before we do, we're going to talk about now Shady Rays, which is an independent sunglass company that is so confident in their product that they have a lifetime craftsmanship warranty and a free replacement warranty if it's lost, right? Like, just imagine being that confident in whatever you make that you're, if somebody just loses it, misplaces it, whatever, you're just like, well, all right, we'll send you out a new one. We want to make sure that you're rocking our product at all times. I personally really like I have the classic Deep Timber, and all of their sunglasses are polarized. It's in a super light pair of sunglasses. At times I forget that they're there. My wife has the signature kind of leopard print sunglasses that she really likes until my buddy swooped them. Justin, I want those back. They also have – there's the Villa that's a little bit more stylish. There's the X series that is a little bit more active. All of their sunglasses, though, come with that lifetime craftsmanship warranty. And – if you're listening to this, you have access to our promo code BOGO, B-O-G-O, to buy one, get one 50% off. And that's for two or more products. So the more that you buy, the more that you save. That's access, again, BOGO. The promo code is BOGO, as in buy one, get one. And you get the access to all of these sunglasses that you can have for your lifetime. And if you ever lose, replace, break, whatever, all you got to do is pay shipping and handling, and they send you out a new pair that are just really good sunglasses. So, Harrison, do you want a pair of sunglasses?
Yes, I'd love a pair. I was actually going to say we have a similar policy at Silver Screen Roll. If anything should happen to an article that you're looking at on our site, like if you accidentally close your browser tab, I promise you go back to the site, it will still be there for you. We will replace that, just lifetime insurance on it.
Unless it's a tweet that Grant sends out.
That Anthony deletes, yes.
In that case, it's gone. It's gone, yeah, forever.
Just forever.
All right. Another quick second here. And when we come back, we will talk about how Zubats fits with this Lakers roster. So Zubats doesn't really fit. Like, it's hard for me to find him.
I mean, he fits in the way that he is 7 feet tall and the Lakers don't have a lot of guys that are that. But other than that, yeah, like finding – if you're looking to up and down this roster at all the guys that they signed and you're saying, okay, well, they're going to play small a lot. Okay, well, they're going to do this and that. Like, it's hard to find minutes for all of these veterans and still also have minutes for Ivica Zubac.
I kind of see this one of two ways. Either LeBron is willing to play the five to open up more minutes for guys like Kuzma or other wings whose minutes would be severely hampered if he doesn't play the five, or he isn't willing to play the five and that opens up more minutes for Zubats. And like the question you got to ask yourself is, who do you want those minutes to be opened up for more? And it should be a resounding vote for not Zubats here, right? And again, maybe he comes into training camp and he shows that he deserves to take some minutes from, say, JaVale, right? Or maybe Mo Wagner isn't ready to assume small ball five or stretch five responsibilities, and Zubats earns himself some of those minutes. But for right now, mathematically speaking, it's really hard to find a place for Zubats. And the other thing too here is he's not the kind of player that I'm like just doing whatever I can, stretching whatever rotation I have to make sure that he gets any kind of consistent look.
No, exactly. The way that he's played the last two seasons, now maybe he comes in with some new skills and some new ways to kind of be a little bit more fluid as far as what lineups he fits into. But for the last 2 years, you know, there have been very specific lineups that can succeed with Ivica Zubats. And Ivica Zubats is not the type of player that you formulate specific lineups so that you can get him on the floor or so that you can maximize his effectiveness. He is at the level of NBA player where you have to fit in, not fit out, as, you know, LeBron is fond of telling people. So, like, we may get, like, a cryptic – I mean – like Zoo probably isn't on like the level where LeBron's going to send an Instagram post. Maybe he'd send like a reply tweet or something, like something that not as many people would see, or like
would it be like who fire are up you his again?
MySpace page.
I saw you at the training facility, and I was trying to figure out who you were.
Yeah, he's like, I just thought you were literally a big fan. Like,
I could
this
see
is mean.
I could see LeBron making that joke and like sheeshing himself, like, oh, that was mean. Sheesh.
Yeah, he's like, sorry, that was one of my dad jokes. I just make them because I'm a dad.
All right, so I guess I'll ask you this question then. So in his rookie season, Zubats played 609 minutes, which equaled out to, what was it, 16 minutes per game or so? Almost, yeah, 16 minutes per game exactly. Last year he plays 9.5 minutes per game averaged out over the course of the year. Does that number continue to go down with Zubats, or do you think it winds up? I don't think he gets anywhere near a place where he plays more than 16 minutes. So do you think he can get into that kind of range of 9.5 to 16 minutes a game?
I think honestly, like 9 sounds about right. I think that the way that he gets those minutes will be different though. I think like last year, obviously they were probably 95% of them were in garbage time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like heavily influenced by like but the average was heavily influenced by like the little segments of the season where he actually played a little bit. But I think probably 9 or 10 is about the amount that you're like maybe expecting him to play. Because if he plays 9 or 10, so let's say there are 48 minutes available at center. He plays 9 or 10. JaVale plays about 20. That leaves I'm not good at math. That leaves 18 minutes left for like other guys to play. So maybe that's Wagner a little bit. I don't anticipate honestly. Like it's hard for me to expect until we see it that LeBron plays more than 6 minutes a night at center during the regular season. So now maybe that just means that like Kuz or one of the guys that's like nominally the power forward just guards the bigger player to save him the grind. But if LeBron's already going to be playing a ton of power forward, which he's never done a whole lot of in his career anyway. Like he's played power forward more than center in his career, but he's still never been a guy that's like starting at power forward all the time, unless I'm just like way off on what the Cavs starting lineup was last year.
No. He's always preferred to – he moves
down.
Yeah,
he's always – so if he's – like I just don't think that he's going to want to play center a ton of minutes. Like until I see it, I'm not really going to believe it. And so I think that's kind of – if you're thinking Zoo's going to play, that's why he's going to play, is because LeBron is going to save the long stretches at center for the postseason. Because I know that the grind is less now and that he's going to be doing it mostly against bench lineups. And so those centers will be smaller. It's not like he's going to be guarding DeMarcus Cousins on every possession. Like, but still, why even subject him to that grind for more than a couple minutes a night during the regular season on the average night?
I don't see a need to.
Yeah,
I just don't.
And
see
so,
it.
Like, even if that subtracts a couple wins from your total, because you're playing Zoo 10 minutes a night versus playing LeBron, like, you know, 20 minutes at center a night or 15 minutes at center a night, then I think that's where he gets his minutes, and that's where Lakers fans have to hope that, you know, like he was frustrated last year by not playing. Like he never specifically said that, but it was pretty obvious just talking to him that, you know, he wanted to play. He felt like he had done what was required of him to play and that he wasn't getting to play. And so, you know, I think like he's going to have to get some minutes and prove that, you know, it was wrong that he wasn't playing last year, at least prove in his mind that he should have been playing last year. And so Laker fans, I think, have to hope that that was his motivation going into the summer. And that's why he's looking better in these like photos that the team is tweeting out and the videos and stuff. But, you know, like anyone can kind of get into shape. It's, you know, playing basketball is a lot harder, especially at the NBA level. And so we'll see how much he's developed at that.
Do you think – so one of my concerns is that, again, I saw him getting moved a ton last year, and then he's saying that he lost 20 more pounds. Do you think his team said to themselves, all right, the era of traditional bigs who feast down low is kind of sort of ending, and that's for, like, the absolute elite bigs at it, so maybe we'll turn Zubats into more of a stretch five kind of guy? One – like, he, to this point, as in his career, I think he's attempted 3 3-pointers. Yeah.
Total?
Yeah, something like that. He hasn't attempted.
Okay, so he's done more in the G League, though. But
do you think he has that kind of game in him? If that's the tweak that his, if that's the direction that his trainers and the Lakers trainers want him to go in. Yeah, he. Oh, sorry, I take that back. He's attempted 4 3-pointers.
Okay. No, I mean, I'm not sure that that's the problem. Are you ready to get like a little bit woke with me here on this? My theory that I'm going to posit is that Instagram Q&As are not the most reliable source of weight loss information.
Wait.
Like, yeah, I think, Anthony, this is going to I'm going to break some news here. Sometimes people lie about their weight loss on the internet or, you know, they just stretch the truth a little bit. Who knows if he's actually lost 20 pounds? I think if he's actually lost 20 pounds, then my theory on it is that he gained weight again last season because they felt like he lost too much. And then now he's like slimming down or sculpting it in a muscle or whatever. And so, I mean, who knows where he's losing that 20 pounds from or where he's getting that number from. If he said, like, when is the starting point from the lost 20 pounds, right? Like, we don't know. So I don't know that I'm not as worried about this as you are. I think sometimes people fib a little bit or tell white lies or Photoshop their bodies on Instagram.
Hey, I think this is a good time to announce that I've lost 50 pounds this week.
This is an audio-only podcast, so you have no way to know that Anthony is lying, theoretically.
And you kept on saying, like, where Zubats lost his weight from. Like, it was very obvious where he lost his weight from. It was his basketball talent. Like, shed a ton of weight over the course of last year.
Oh, that's not the word I thought you said. Okay. I misheard that. And I was like, man, that was really graphic.
Oh, my goodness. Harrison remains 16 years old. This is
not an appearance.
Today's show is the hairline is just
Can you get me a For Hims live read for my next guest appearance, just so they could send me some product?
I'll talk to my people who are no longer your people.
It's getting really bad, man.
It is. You had a tweet, and this is the last thing we'll talk about. Well, we have two more things that we need to get to. You had a tweet though that made me think a little bit, and it was basically the premise of it was that maybe we're just way off in the analysis of the Lakers center rotation, right? And that,
yes.
And so I'll just let you kind of talk a little bit about that.
Oh, so you're going to let the guy who's not getting paid to be here talk and give his opinion and just fill time because you don't want to, because you'd rather just cash those checks.
It's great. What's the word that websites used to tell us? Exposure. Yes, this is great exposure for
you. Okay, so this is great exposure for me. So here's my chance to expose myself on this podcast.
Okay.
And please nobody take that out of context, but just that one audio clip. So, yeah, I was tweeting about this. It was either last night or the night before. But I think that, you know, the way that I just feel like I've covered enough NBA seasons now and written about the Lakers and attempted to analyze the Lakers for enough seasons now to know how wrong we usually are about at least a couple things that are kind of become common thought during the offseason. And I think this might end up being one of those things. So I kind of alluded to this when I was talking about LeBron playing center, maybe not as much as a lot of people are thinking, and that I'll believe it when I see it. Like, we're all talking about this as if it's like a foregone conclusion. LeBron's just going to be willing to play 15 minutes a night at center when he's never shown a propensity to want to do even like five for the most part. And so I don't know that that's as much of a foregone conclusion. And I like a lot of people were taking the Insta and myself included, were taking his like Instagram kind of poking fun at it as, you know, he's willing to do this. And that's kind of the big takeaway of it is like he wouldn't be acknowledging it publicly if it wasn't like really going to happen. Mm-hmm. But like I think it was Winter. Don't like take this as fact, because I think I remember him saying that. I think Windhorse might have said that he thought it, like his read on that was that it was passive aggressiveness. And, you know, maybe it's not. That's one person's read. And maybe that wasn't even Windhorse's read. I think somebody tweeted that at me. But like, even so, whoever says it, like that is like one way of potentially looking at it. And, you know, it's possible. I don't know, like if he's actually being passive aggressive, like his first summer before he's even playing a game for the team. I don't know if that's a great sign. But, you know, I don't really buy into the idea that he's just going to play a ton at center this first year. And maybe I'll be wildly wrong about that. And you can play this clip and laugh at me later in the season. You can edit it into a later show of like the wrongest we were, the wrongest any, like let's dunk on our guests. Like as we're going through, like you just get starved for content.
Where'd all my guests go?
Yeah. And so I don't know. I just don't really totally buy into this. I think this might be one of those times where Lakers Twitter gets an idea in their head and enough people say, oh, that's a good idea. I like that idea, that we all start kind of talking ourselves into like a human centipede about it. And then like it just ends up that's not at what the team is thinking at all. And they have a totally different thought process on that. Like we do it every single year with the draft. We do it every single year with summer league. There's always like one training camp guy that everybody gets really, really upset about. And so, and then ends up being not all that inconsequential. I call it like the Robert Upshaw Memorial Award. And so like, I just think we as the media have been wildly wrong about like our analysis of this stuff before. And we've also been right on a lot of stuff. I'm not saying that we're never right, but I think that this is one of those times where we have to allow for the possibility that we could be very wrong on this, and that the Lakers will end up giving most of their center minutes to, at least during the regular season, to JaVale, Mo, and Zoo.
Yeah, I could ride with the thinking. I mean, I can always ride with you being wrong, so that's
it's
also
just like traditional exciting. Basketball minds often think very different from the basketball internet. And mm-hmm. So we may see like, hey, look at how effective LeBron can be offensively at the center. And he may say, yeah, but like that's a lot of work. I don't really want to do that for 82 games this season. And Luke Walton may say like, yeah, I'm not really going to – I don't, number one, want to piss off kind of my new boss. And I also I also don't want to destroy this franchise's best asset. So yeah, LeBron, we are not going to play you 15 minutes a game at center, despite how good that would be in 2K.
And their plans right now might be completely different from their plans at the end of summer camp or at training camp.
I was talking to somebody about this yesterday on Twitter, and like, forgive me for not giving you credit. I just forgot who it was. But so I'm just going to take your point. But like, this might be one of those things where LeBron has to see the Lakers go through a little bit of adversity before he's willing to try a new thing. He's like, let's play the traditional lineups. And then if it's not working, or if it's not working well enough that we're on like a playoff pace, then yeah, I'll take on some more center minutes. But it's one of those things where I almost feel like that's going to have to be an adjustment rather than being the default plan.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see either way. And we've thought about this for long enough that really, like, we just need to get them into training camp so that we can actually start to find out some of the stuff that we are hearing from training camp, right? So,
yeah.
All right. We have one last thing to get to. At the end of all of these, I've just kind of been finding random things that I'm looking forward to with this upcoming season. And my thing is, like, with Zubats, he strikes me as so competitive, and at this point, like, he doesn't have much to lose, right? Like, it's not like he's gonna – it wouldn't shock anybody if he wasn't in the league in, like, 4 years, right? So it's not I'm looking forward to the first question he gets after, like, the seventh DNPC CD in a row that he gets. The first question that he gets about, are you frustrated with how little opportunity you're getting – I think he might drop some hot fire.
Oh, there's a chance for sure. Like, he's the type of guy that, like, he definitely, you know, he speaks his mind. He doesn't, yeah, like, always say – he doesn't always say the exact right thing. And I think some of the – like, I've noticed this a lot with the guys who English isn't their first language. They're just a lot more blunt most of the time because it's harder to obfuscate in your second language. At least I would imagine. I don't speak two languages. But, mm-hmm, like, I would imagine that is, like, if something's not your first language, it's a lot harder to kind of beat around the bush. Like, I remember – like, I was always struck by this with Mozgov. He was, like, so – blunt and honest about the young core and like this guy's not really working hard enough and like this kind of stuff like and so like I think with Zoo I get a little bit of those same vibes where like he's just gonna shoot from the hip. I don't know if that'll necessarily be a change from past seasons. Like, I think generally when he's talked to, he's pretty honest about stuff, like whether it's positive or negative.
Is there any random thing that you're looking forward to next season with Zoo?
I mean, along those same lines, I'm just like, I'm excited that he's back on the team. Like, he's always been like a fun guy to talk to in the locker room and like one of the guys that I've gotten to know better, like for the most part on the team over the last like couple years, just from covering him in the D and G League and, you know, like covering him with the Lakers as well. And so, like, you know, it'll just be exciting to have him around. Like, I think this team just has like a lot of fun, different, eclectic personalities. And I'm just kind of excited to see how all that interacts.
I just hope that we don't look back on this like a year from now and say, what the hell were they thinking with Zubats and Thomas Bryant? Like, that's the only thing.
Imagine if he just goes and kills it for the Wizards.
I'd be so angry.
You're going to be like, you don't need a lot to get angry anyway.
Yeah, no.
Like, but I remember it'll be like when D'Angelo Russell had like a couple good games, like times 10, because I think you might have somehow loved Thomas Bryant more than you loved D'Angelo Russell. Greatest Bryant ever. We were talking earlier about this, like draft misses of the Lakers front office, like earlier in the show. And we said Anthony Brown. I think we got to throw D'Lo in there as well.
Wow.
I just said that just to make you mad. I wish you guys could have seen the look on Anthony's face.
This is why I fired you.
Punch me through his screen.
Yeah, I won't handle it very well if Thomas Bryant just very visibly is the better, not just better player next year, which I don't necessarily would predict. I don't think I would predict that.
But I would have to look at the Wizard center rotation to even see if he's going to get the minutes.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, though, like,
how much of a hero would he be to Lakers fans if he like knocked Dwight out of the rotation and like and then was averaging like 30 minutes a game and playing really well? Like,
meanwhile, Zubats is on his eighth DNP CD in a row.
He'd get like an honorary jersey retirement.
Yep. I'd be down with it. All right.
Like they should retire his number in like the practice facility just for the G League games.
Yeah. He was such a good G League player.
He was so good. Like, like I honestly felt like he was up there in MVP like discussions for the G League last year. He was really, really good.
It surprised me that he didn't win Rookie of the Year. Like that actually legitimately surprised me. But
yeah,
I didn't pay as much attention as you did. All right. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Today's show was brought to you by both Ease. Go to ease.co/lockedon to get $20 off your first purchase there. And Shady Rays. Head to shadyrays.com and enter the promo code BOGO to get 50% off every pair of sunglasses that you buy after your first. So, Harrison, go order some marijuana and buy some sunglasses to shade your red eyes, and you'll be
good. That's actually like a great strategy to get away with it.
Yeah, you're good to
like
go.
If I'm like just showing up to class, just be like, no, I just have my sunglasses on today.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think any of my professors listen to this podcast, but hopefully I didn't just get myself in trouble.
Have a great rest of your day, everybody. No, it's just perfectly fine. I'm just really happy today.